Good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It is right now 11:01. Great to have you joining us today. And this is the Christmas season, and we send out a celebration to you and your family. Merry Christmas. And we do celebrate the birth of Christ here at WCNO, and we believe it's a great thing for all of us to do. I was thinking the angels and the heavenly host had time to celebrate the birth of Christ. We should as well.
Amen.
We should as well. I want to welcome to our program today, Daniel Diaz. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us again. You've been joining us over the last few weeks, and we're going to be breaking into the new year. We'll stay in touch with you as the world is changing in the realm of finance, and you are called the gold guy. Why is that?
Going out there lobbying, making gold and silver legal tender, and I would wear a fedora, and the legislators would know that I was in the building and I was the gold silver guy because I would wear the fedora, and they're like, oh, he's in the building, he's here. So that's how it started. And then I got into, you know, selling gold and silver as part of the mission of our organization at Citizens Sound Money to promote the use of sound money and protect people's rights to do so. It just made sense that if I'm pushing to make gold and silver legal tender in helping citizens, I might as well also provide gold and silver solutions, either referring them out or providing it myself. And I just kind of embraced the full gold and silver guy and went full throttle into it.
All right. And for people who are going to want to know how to find out more about you, you actually have, I think, a business established with Walk-In Opportunity now. Give us some of that information for people who might be interested in finding you.
Yeah, it's called Sovereign Gold and Silver Exchange. We just opened up last Monday, a soft launch in Sebastian, Florida, off of US 1. It's 1128 US Highway 1 in Sebastian, Florida. And we're open typically Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So we have a grand opening on the 30th. I think we're going to have some free food, maybe some specials. So, looking forward to that.
And what is the web address where people can find out a little more about you as well?
Yeah, I for my position at Citizens Sound Money, I recommend people going to citizens4soundmoney.org. citizens4soundmoney.org. You can find our contact information and then keep tabs on everything that we're doing. We have blog posts that we list about what's going on, and also follow us on X, the4soundmoney. That's where we put most of our latest news. And if you want to learn more about my company, the website is about to get launched, but you can go to SGSE, so the acronym for Sovereign Gold Silver Exchange, SGSE.gold.
.gold, okay. All right. Well, I'm so glad you're joining us. I know this is really a busy time of year. I was in Costco store here in Martin County this week, and I noticed they do have a 1 ounce little chunk of gold in there for sale, and I believe they had to probably adjust their prices again today because it looks like gold keeps going up and silver as well.
Yeah, well, Costco, when they got into the gold and silver arena, they became the biggest gold and silver bullion dealer in the country.
Really?
So that's kind of the reach of Costco. Yeah. And they partnered with the largest bullion company, PAMP, and PAMP is owned by a company called Bullion International Group, or BIG, big. They just kind of took over. I think just a few years ago, around maybe COVID time, when the last silver squeeze was happening, that Costco jumped in and they took the industry by storm.
Wow.
But the price, it's crazy. Yesterday, silver went up over $3. I haven't looked at it. I saw it earlier today, but I haven't looked at it before I came on the call. It's a little down right now, but it's kind of recovered. But yes, gold and silver have been skyrocketing not because the metals themselves are getting more valuable. It's because the dollar is losing that much confidence and that much value. And it's one of those once in a, 20, 30 year bull market. Typically, it's 30 to 40 years we see gold and silver bull markets. This is only the fourth in 120, 130 years. So it's interesting to see it happening. And to me and to most people in the sound money movement, this is just an inevitability of the fiat economy, because every fiat currency in the history of mankind has gone down to zero. And we're starting to see that this is near the end of the fiat system, in my opinion.
Well, I was reading this morning in Revelations, and in the book, it was where I was reading the earlier chapters right after the letters to the churches, talking about the throne room of God, the elders that are around God, and they are wearing crowns of gold.
Yeah.
So gold is going to be a part not only of our past history, our today, but it's going to be a part of, it is a part of heaven. So gold is definitely an important part there. Yeah, I was also thinking about Peter and John going up to the temple. They see the lame man that is there, and he's looking at them like, okay, where's the donation today? And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And I was just thinking that in the kingdom of God, there are many believers that would say, hey, I'm like Peter and John. I'm really spiritual. I don't have any silver or gold. But the reality is many in the body of Christ do have and have been making investments of some sort, some kind. So in a world that is changing so fast, Daniel, and I know we just have a few moments, why and how could someone who says, I don't have a lot of money to invest, I can't afford to lose anything, I don't make a lot of money, how can someone like that, and why should someone like that be aware of what's happening right now?
Yeah, well, I think that we need to consider that gold and silver has been money for 6,000 years. God put it on the earth in perfect proportions for what we need to run an economy. And then the fact that gold is indestructible, it is incorruptible, it is a perfect metal. It doesn't have any bias towards not pH level, but it's basically neutral. It's the perfect metal. And you can throw silver and gold into the ocean, wait 5,000 years, you pull it up, it looks like the gold was immediately forged, while the silver will be completely tarnished and damaged and would need to be treated. And that's why gold and silver are the perfect form of physical money. And it's also a store of energy. God put it on this earth, and the scientific explanation of how gold is made is that it takes the power of a supernova, or when God spoke everything into existence, the Big Bang. It literally took that power to create gold. So there's something intrinsically energetic about gold and silver and within the human psyche that we see as valuable. And we've turned that into an economic unit, and that's why it's such a good store of value. That's the third characteristic of money that differentiates currency. The dollar is losing value. It was created by man. Fiat currency is a construct, an imperfect imitation of God's true money, gold and silver. And the government also uses it to steal the wealth of the people by printing the dollar and printing fiat currency into oblivion. Since we got off of gold and silver standard in 1971, officially, really we got off of it in 33 or 34, when American citizens couldn't own gold anymore, we see a debasement of not just the currency, but in the effect that that currency that's elastic had on society. There's a book by an author named Jimmy Song. He's a Bitcoiner, but I think the book is fantastic. Whether you're a Bitcoiner or believe in gold and silver, it says fiat ruins everything. And he does a great analysis on how the fiat standard has ruined everything from the medical field, education, the arts, even the church. It's infected everything and has destroyed the family unit, the central family unit, because of it being endless and this rat race that we need to constantly fight to keep up with the theft of inflation that the government is printing. So is why do you need to buy gold and silver? Because you're protecting yourself from the theft of government and protecting your economic energy so that you can buy what you earned today as you can buy 10 years from now, because gold is worth the same today, tomorrow, 100 years from now, you pass it on to your children. The dollar isn't. So the reason why you want to buy gold and silver is to preserve your economic energy.
So
how do you do it? Sorry, go ahead.
So if we look at gold and silver, like silver's up well over 100%. Gold is up how much in the last year?
70%.
Okay, so we look at that and we go, okay, gold is up 70. Silver's up what, like 130,
140 now.
140% in the last year. So when we look at that and say, well, gold is up and silver's up, are we actually saying that it... gold and silver, it's not that they're up, it's that everything else related to the dollar is down? Is that what you're saying?
When you measure assets against all other assets against gold and silver, it's all down. The dollar is down, real estate is down, the S&P 500, Bitcoin, everything. When you measure all assets, because look, gold and silver is the central monetary unit of which all other assets measure itself, including fiat currency. And when gold is skyrocketing and silver is skyrocketing the way that it is, it means that all the other assets are losing value against what the rest of the world chooses to measure it against, which is the dollar. So since the dollar is the central monetary unit that the rest of the world uses to measure all other assets, of course, all assets are going down against gold and silver because the dollar is losing so much value.
So what is an affordable way for someone that says, well, you know, I'm a middle or a low-income person? How can that person get involved? Because they're going, hey, you know, gold is over $4,000, $4,400, whatever it is this morning, and silver is now $70. It's not something that... How can someone today that says, that's me, I can't buy an ounce of anything, how can they get involved today? Because things have changed.
Yeah, there's two ways. There's the physical and a digital way you can get involved. The physical way I've always promoted, even before these rallies took off, fractional gold and silver. I believe that I've always believed at some point gold and silver is going to become unobtainium, as Mike Maloney coined. And the normal person won't be able to buy a full gold ounce or silver. If they did buy gold and silver at the ounce at a lower rate, if gold and silver get up to a high peak, it's going to be very difficult to liquidate those gold ounces that are $10,000 a piece. So I've always been a proponent of buying fractional. And the smallest denomination of gold you can buy right now that's usable is a half gold back. That half gold back is worth around almost $5. It's like $4.80, something like that. And that is a fractional usable cash form that over almost 4,000 merchants around the country currently use. You can buy, you know, you put $5, $10, $20 every paycheck into gold backs, and it's made out of 24 karat gold. Or you can go, you know, to a gram of gold, which is about $160, $170 with premium. So there's options out there if you can't buy a full ounce. Same thing with silver. Silver's now $71, $72. That's might be out of reach for every paycheck for some people. So buy half ounce. A half ounce of silver right now is the same price as a full ounce was 4 or 5 months ago.
There you go.
So, yeah. And then you can buy 1/5 ounce rounds that we sell at Citizens for Sound Money, or 1/10 ounce rounds. Well, 1/10 ounce round is around $8, around the same as half a gold back, which is 1/2000th of an ounce of gold. So there's definitely ways to do it physically. Now, if you don't want to carry gold back, you don't want to carry coins, then you can open up an account with companies like Kinesis or Alpine Gold through the UPMA, which is the United Precious Metal Association, or Glint. These companies, you can deposit cash with Alpine Gold. You can do a IRA rollover, and you can put your assets into gold and silver. And the UPMA has a preloaded debit card. They're moving towards an active debit card where you can sell their gold and silver. Right now, you have to sell the gold and silver and preload it with fiat. And then Glint has a debit card where you can spend your gold and silver with a debit card. And Kinesis just launched their alpha program for their debit card. The beta program is going to be a few hundred people in the U.S. And then within some time in January or early February, the whole United States will have a Kinesis debit card, and you can spend your gold and silver there. So there's definitely digital ways to do it, thanks to the 21st century, the technology to be able to tokenize assets. So, yeah, it's definitely possible to be able to do that.
So, Daniel, we're already almost out of time, and there's so many other things I wanted to ask you about. But in essence, with the opportunity today of being able to invest, we're talking digital, someone, we could say instead of possessing a solid coin in hand, wherein you have to be concerned about storage and a bunch of other things, in a sense, this is a way of going back to the gold standard, sort of?
Yeah, the gold standard in a private, done by the private industry, which I think is the best way to do that, because the people, we're the ones that chose gold and silver as money thousands of years ago. Somebody came across a rock that was shining in the desert or mountain, decided to hit it and melt it down and saw the property. So we, the people, chose money, and the private sector does a better job to efficiently create a system than the government. So yeah, it's a private gold standard. And we want governments to recognize gold and silver as legal tender, but we don't want them to run the gold and silver depositories and run the systems, because, well, every time government gets involved in the free markets or in money, they kind of steal it from the people and oppress the people. So we don't trust the government to run monetary systems, so we'd rather do it privately. So
all right.
Yeah, it's effectively a gold standard electronically.
Which is very exciting to me, because it actually makes it possible for almost everyone to get involved on some kind of a level. And I know you have some general numbers that you throw out as far as, you know, reserves and things like that we should do. There really isn't a lot of time to get to any of that today. But a couple things I want to address in the future, Daniel, and maybe this is something we can bring up at another one of our conversations. I hear a lot of talk about reevaluation of the gold value by the government, and would like to be able to address that, and what would that mean? What does that have to do with Fort Knox, with the gold that our government has? How does that impact this whole aspect of the value of gold? Will that bring it down? Will it bring it up? But another thing I want to get back to in future conversations is legislation and where that is going in this coming year. Is there anything else you want to hit on today as we're getting ready to close?
No, I just encourage everybody that's listening, if this is the first time you're hearing about gold and silver as money, do some research. And there's a great series. This series was a paradigm shift for me, completely, just kind of like how I got saved and saw love and truth. I kind of had that moment with money through a series called Hidden Secrets of Money by Mike Maloney. It's 10 episodes, 30 minutes episodes, except for the eighth one, which is a little over an hour and a half. But that right there, if you watch that series, you'll know more about money than 90% of the population out there. You'll understand economics, and you'll understand what is going on and why gold and silver are so important as a monetary unit that you should be saving in versus the dollar.
Okay, so Hidden Secrets of Money by Tim Maloney, you said?
Mike Maloney.
I'm sorry, by Mike. And how is Maloney? That's
M-A-L-O-N-E-Y.
N-E-Y. Okay, very good, very good. All right, well, Merry Christmas to you. Daniel, thank you so much. And moving along here, we'll look forward to talking with you again on the next Wednesday Live if we're able to and things go well. Blessings to you. Absolutely. And your family.
Thank you. God bless you and Merry Christmas to all of you.
All right. All right. We're going to go to a song. We'll be right back in just a moment. We have several other guests. And again, thank you, Daniel, for joining us today. And we're going to be right back with John Nelson in just a moment. right, and we are back with you, and the studio is filling up with wonderful friends. My goodness. Well, we have John Nelson on the line, and we have Tim and Maria Widrow that are in the studio along with the A-Team, best staff in the world right here. David and Karen are here. And just you so you
full,
all...
You got a full house going on, my brother.
I do have a full house, and there still is time for people to drop off, you know, their favorite desserts. And we can test them and see if we agree. Because we're going to be talking about a big fast is coming. We're going to be feasting on the Lord instead of food coming up the first of the year. So you better enjoy while you can.
So you're going to make one of those new – you guys are all in that New Year's Eve club of saying, I'm going to L.A. Fitness.
Well,
I've done that before.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to L.A. Fitness. I'm just going to not go as often to the dessert menu. You know, I'm going to be eating a lot more. I think we're going to let Tim and Maria talk about it, but whatever legumes are, things like that, you know, we're going to be chewing on other things.
Being there, done that.
Being there, done that already.
Yeah.
All right, John, great to have you on air. You have a most exciting event coming up with Families Recover. .org Miami Heat, what's getting ready to happen?
Yes, we've got our 11th year with the kids and some families. We actually were able to bless two whole families.
Awesome.
With the trip, the bus, and also some spending cash because we want them to be able to enjoy a Coke.
Yeah, for sure. So
popcorn.
This is taking place on December the what?
December 29th. We leave around 3:00. We're still a little light on financing. We could use about another $5,000. But I'll tell you what I've learned. God always delivers. God is faithful. And even whether it isn't even on the day of the event, it'll suffice itself. It's always been an event that breaks even. And Easton puts a little bit of money into the kitty so we can help people. You know, we do a lot with families and single parents and last year, even with you guys, we were able to give away a couple cars. And, you know, one of the young ladies that listens adamantly was actually called in, and one of our girls is driving that car now. And, you know, it's just the blessings are huge. One thing I've learned is this, and I hope the whole world's listening, you can't outgive God.
Amen. Amen.
Even when it seems that way. You know I'm big in sobriety. You know I'm big in recovery and sober coaching and life coaching and trauma coaching. And I teach these people when they come in. You know, if you just get a little faithful, put down that stuff, your needs will be met. And then once you start working with them and they get 30, 60, 90 days into the process, they look like they're missing the world because now all of a sudden they're chemical free. But now they're saying, well, I got to get back everything I lost. Well, if you learn how to walk and walk uprightly like the Bible teaches us, you can know that God will supply that when it's time. So, you know, putting the brakes on people and just teaching them your needs are met. You know, I never understood in Scripture why he only gave them one day's worth of food, manna. And I understand it because even when I was starting my life, and even today, with the abundance that we've been – you know, God's given me a life, and I know why that one day thing came in, because we tend to stop looking at him and looking at what I need to have, who I need to have, you know, relationships and houses and cars. And I just know this, if you walk faithfully, he's always faithful. He's just faithful.
So, John, for people who don't know who you are, give a 1-minute introduction to Families Recover. Where did it come from?
Up on 13 years ago, we started Families Against Drunk Driving. I had some stuff going on with people in our life and in my family that were drinking and driving with kids. I couldn't get anybody to help me. All of the, you just can't. The cops ain't going to go search them and stop them and blah, blah, blah. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving, it don't matter. Everybody's got a mission. We started a grassroots thing. And then as things went on, the opioids came out, and then heroin relaunched, and Jenny and I decided to reach out to people and figure out what we should call it. We changed the name to familiesrecover.org because it talks about the disease. You know, anybody that knows anything about addiction, mental health, abuse, being in a relationship that's never had any coping skills. I mean, it's a well-rounded name, so we can actually talk, treat, and we've hooked up with professionals locally and actually all over the country that are there to help people, and sometimes free. You know, I had a lady that a friend of mine is helping 2 days. She is here, no place to go. So he put her up in a hotel, and yesterday she found that he found a place for her to go that's safe. I mean, awesome. It's about networking, and we're just so excited about Fano Law coming on board, and we're looking forward to getting the heat behind us so we can get the fishing tournament we're going to do in April or May out of Pirates Cove. Never done one, but he has. But it's another thing that we're going to get, like, the lady steward involved, where we can bring out all these kids for free to fish a fishing tournament on a river boat.
That's awesome.
You know, it's just, what can you do to give back?
Yep.
What am I doing to give back? And this is another thing I was taught by Joe. He was a mentor of mine for well over 20 years. Do something nice, but don't tell anybody. And it's hard, like, for me to try to raise money. I was in the Dunklin dorm, and Sean wants to come on the radio with us again. And he's been on the radio with you before, the Dunklin program. And he actually sat me down. I got out of that dorm, and I'm not ashamed of it. 16 years ago, on the 23rd, I didn't have nothing. I couldn't even see my kids. And you know what? I didn't deserve to. Fast forward, he stops me from, we were doing a little teaching in there last week. And he says, I want you to sit in the middle of the room. So there's like 35 inmates and then the staff and even the guard. And they prayed for my heart. He goes, this guy, and this is what he said to the guy. I've never met too many people that go, and I don't want to pat myself on the back, that never asked for anything. He goes, in all the years that he's helped Dunklin, he's never asked for anything. Mm. And he goes, but today we're going to pray for his heart transplant.
Wow.
And I was pretty taken back because, you know, and I was thinking back to when we're on the radio with you guys and fundraising during share, you know, that your guys getting your money to stay on the air. You know, a lot of people come to me after the broadcast and say, you know, you're never trying to fill your bank account. I just know this. God will deliver what he's supposed to when he wants to, if it's needed. So, yep. I mean, it's just stuff like that. It was pretty taken back. I actually was pretty emotional because they're right. You know, a lot of people, and I find this in the health nonprofits and even pastors, where we're so busy giving to others, we don't really look at ourselves. You know, even that can be family and health-wise. So it's really a good reminder. Remember that we need to take care of ourselves too.
We do. John, how can people get a hold of you?
I'm just so thankful this year. I'm taking my grandbaby to a service at 3 p.m. It's just going to be me and her. I mean, I'm just, and we talked about this before I came on. You know, that wouldn't have happened 16 years ago. But I can tell you what does happen. You know, recovery and getting back with the Lord is very predictable. And if someone's listening out there right now and they're missing their kids, call us. Or call the radio station. I promise you, if you live right, then you will see those kids again. You will. I mean, it's just one of those promises. So I'm just pretty thankful. I mean, we're ending the year on a high note. I've had some extremely rough days. My blood pressure's been in the tank every morning. But, you know, we just battle through.
Amen.
You know, look at Ed, and I'll finish with this. I listen to the programs, and if you're listening to WCNO for the first time, there's some really great grassroots radio programs, and I listen with Ed on the radio with Dave, and I know what he's been through health-wise, and he still keeps pushing.
He does.
That just gives guys like me hope.
Amen. Well, John, we love you. Merry Christmas to you and all of those that you have a reach to touch, and we pray that God strengthens us and enables us to stand together and continue the work that he's called us to in this coming year.
Listen, you guys have a Merry Christmas. I love all of you. And be happy.
And if you're listening today, it's not too late for you to start your day of new beginnings. That's and you
right.
can call John Nelson.
It's never too late, but it's later than you think.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Make the call, 772-285-5828.
And some you guys. Merry Christmas.
Blessings, John.
Bye.
Bye. And we are enjoying Christmas. We celebrate the greatest gift that's ever been given and will ever be given. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to keep yakking about it because if the angels and the heavenly host put on a production that covered the sky and brought the information, brought that great report that the Messiah had been born, we certainly can do the same thing. And if there's a little bah humbug out there with probably none of our listeners, probably those who listen to other stations, but if you have a little bah humbug, yeah, take it to the cross, yeah, and get a life. Enjoy eternal life through Jesus Christ. I better be careful what I say. I might step on somebody's toes. Don't want to get into too much trouble.
Go ahead.
Welcome, David.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad
Karen
to be here.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Good morning.
And Tim and Maria.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
So what is the word? We're almost finished with 2025. I'm shocked that it flew by so fast. And you all have been instrumental, speaking of Tim and Maria Widrow, have been instrumental in calling us as a family to start the year with a time of passionate pursuit of God? Are we doing it again this coming year?
Yes.
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 You're sure?
Yes.
Okay, let's get that mic right up there. Maria, we're gonna be doing this.
Yes, we have to do it.
We have to do it.
It's expected.
Yeah, okay. It is expected.
Yes.
I don't know if any one of my team can pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, but I would kind of like to 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Tim, what do you have?
Well, I have 2 Corinthians 7, 14.
Well, that's close. Sorry. Well, why don't you start with that, and we'll go to 4, 4.
Well, the Lord makes a promise to us. If we do these four things, he will do something, and I will go through it slowly. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, that's number one, and pray, that's number two, and seek my face, that's number three, and turn from their wicked ways, that's number four, then God says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and heal your land. So God never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. Amen. So if we do our part, he will do his part, and our land will be healed. And part of that starts with obedience and repentance.
Amen.
Amen.
And you said 2 Corinthians 4, 4?
Yes, I did say that.
Mm-hmm. It says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Read it again.
Okay. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
So if we are going to have any healing in our land, it's only going to come really from God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it is a spiritual healing that we desperately need. And I don't know if you all are familiar with this book, Praying Effectively for the Lost. It is a great book by Lee Thomas. It's a little skinny thing, but it's power-packed. But he starts off with this one-liner, and I just want to throw it out. And you can judge it. You can check it out for yourself. But he starts the book by saying this: the lost will not and indeed cannot be saved unless someone prays for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
That is a powerful statement. Think about that. The lost will not and indeed cannot be saved unless someone prays for them. Who's going to open up our eyes? How is it going to happen? We have a generation that is very lost. Thank God. We are seeing signs of an awakening, though, aren't we?
Yes, we are. At the church we attend, we're a little bit older, let me put it that way, but there are 20-somethings loading, and I mean packing the church.
That's awesome.
Literally packing the church, where we have standing room only around the around the walls.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yes. It looks like a high school reunion.
Wow.
That's how young.
That is awesome.
Young is the church.
Yeah, and they are on fire. We the two girls that we know, they're twins. They literally call themselves cheerleaders for Jesus.
Whoa!
And they're out there cheering.
Hallelujah!
It's an amazing thing. And we thought perhaps the opposite was true. Maybe in some other areas it is, but thankfully, thank God, where we go, my goodness, a lot of young energy there.
Yeah, we need Daniels. Uh-huh.
Well, God raised up Charlie Kirk, you know, in his generation, and that was not lost. Charlie's home, but
absolutely,
that vision, the power, you know, the word talks about you're sowing the seed, and some ground is not producing. However, there's some ground that's very fruitful in 30, 60, 100-fold, and so we are to be sowing the seed, and God is the one who brings the harvest, and we are seeing that all across the nation with our younger generation. Praise God.
Praise
for that.
God.
For that is awesome. And that's what we were fasting for last year, right?
Correct.
For 5 years.
Correct.
And the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, right?
4 years.
So the fasting has been the church saying, we want to prepare ourselves to be partners with God's mission of reaching a lost world.
Absolutely. That's where it starts, prayer and fasting and obedience and repentance.
Obedience and repentance. They definitely do. Definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Daniel Fast.
It's coming.
Starts what date?
So the new year, we always start with prayer because we like to search what God stores for us.
Yes.
And it's important. It's like we have to give him the first fruits.
Okay.
But not only for our, but for everything we do. Doesn't matter, is socially, culturally, emotionally, spiritually, we have to submit to him and every time in the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
I don't say you have to quit after that.
No, don't quit.
You can put your faith in hold. No.
Amen.
But I'm saying you have to start and offer your first fruits.
What's the date you start?
We're going to start 7th of January.
Why the 7th?
I think it's 7 is in the middle of the week. It's Wednesday.
Time to finish eating your leftovers?
Yes, and also time to prepare. Yeah. So you cannot rush Sunday, go prepare, or Saturday. So you can have Monday, Tuesday to go and prepare and get ready for the Daniel Fast.
How many days?
I suggest 21 days, but you can do it 3 days, 1 day, 10 days, 40 days. You can do it any way, as long as you can handle. And it's nothing difficult to do. Sometimes people say, listen, I want to do ongoing Daniel Fast 1 day in the morning. You can do that too.
Okay.
It's sometimes, you know, anything you gave to God, it matters. It counts.
That's a good point. Start where you are.
Yes.
Start where your faith is. Mm-hmm. Start where God meets you now.
Yeah.
But give them your best.
Give them your best.
Yes, okay.
Not the leftovers.
That's good. Not a tip. Don't leave a tip.
That's right.
I do remember sometimes I was sick. I was sick for, I don't know, you know, everybody has cold flu and all that type of elements. But I was called to fast, and I said, I'm going to fast. I'm so sick in the morning. So I fast, Daniel fast until 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I fast for 40 days.
Wow.
And I fast for one thing in mind, because I like my prodigal sons to come back home. And I was determined not to call them for 40 days to find out how they are going, how I'm going to hear from them. So finally, I have a surprise. My son, after the 40 days, you saw it in the dinner, he said, Mom, I'm buying a ticket. I come to see you.
Ah.
Hmm. How many years has it been?
7.
Wow.
7 years.
7 years. Wow.
So, yeah, he stayed with us for 10 days, and he just left a few days ago.
Yeah, he left, and this was, amazing, you know, and all these years I was praying, but then I say, I have enough. I have to do something specifically for that.
So start in your Jerusalem.
Start, yes.
Mm. Start in your Jerusalem, you know, and in fact, that's the power in Acts. You shall receive power,
you
will be witnesses in Jerusalem. Start in your Jerusalem. It may be a husband, maybe wife, maybe son, daughter, your children, maybe grandchildren, great-grandchildren, maybe brothers, sisters, moms, dads. But start there. And from what you're saying, it's good to have a focus as you move into this time of fasting.
Yes, it has a focus. And this is called faith in action. When we go to a breach, we don't know who built this bridge. We don't know how the construction is. But we step into the bridge and we're going to the other side of the bridge. We apply faith. That faith is required for the Daniel Fast.
Amen. So you're not just saying prayers. Passionately pursuing God.
Yes, you're passionately pursuing God. How it's basically look like in action. Every day you get up and say, God, put me to work in your kingdom. What do you like me to do? Which outreach place I have to go? What pastor I have to help? What faith, like person who is never heard about the gospel. We're full of those people around us.
Yes.
We have so many people outside the church and not so many people inside the church.
Yes.
What that telling us? We have so many people who want to learn about the gospel. And Holy Spirit is always so faithful and so good. He will bring that person. And you know that person is handpicked by the Holy Spirit. And your job is just to share the good news with it.
God brings them into our contact zone, yes. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Karen, do you focus when you're praying and seeking God? I know you are one who spends time in prayer.
You know, there's different seasons of prayer and different times.
Yes.
But yes, I've done specific times of prayer for a person or an issue. And then other times it's as the Holy Spirit is directing.
Yes.
And it's true, like what Maria was saying. You know, when you focus on a particular thing, you're going to see some answers. And when you pray as the Lord is leading you, not how you want.
Yes.
You know, because we want God to, well, I want you to do it next week.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want to hear something from you so then I'll know you answered it. But like with Maria, just committing that time, you know, and that devoting that time for that one issue about the prodigals.
Yes, I have.
And that's what you're going to see.
That's what you're going to see. And also I have three sons and they're all prodigals.
Mm-hmm.
Three sons are prodigals. And I was praying God to show me what I have to pray for them, because it's all these years of prayer, you know, you kind of get exhausted,
right.
And
right.
Say, hey, how long I'm going to say same thing over and over and again,
right.
You know, and I start having dreams that God just ping like a beam what I should pray for it and how I should position our prayer. It was a very interesting journey when you trying to say, God, I'm not going anymore to deal with this timidly. I'm going to voice it. I'm going to stand on the court of heaven, and I'm going to ask my case to be seen and to be solved.
That's awesome.
So that's basically what happened when you present your prayer in the courts of heaven. Directly, not like, hey, it's like whatever God decides. Yes, of course what God decides, but you have to go to God.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. You know, reading in Acts and thinking about the early church, the formation of the church and new beginnings, because of Pentecost we see the church that's starting, and very early they had the issues come up, who's going to feed the widows? You know, who's going to take care of the tables? Who's going to organize? Who's going to maintain this? And I jotted this down the other morning because I'm thinking and preparing my heart for the coming year. We're closing out some things. The year closes, you know, a new year. I think it's a time to celebrate the victories and to seek the heart of God to understand where the front line of the battle is. So we don't just sort of meander, you know, into whatever, but we are strategically led of the Lord. But the apostles said, and we will devote ourselves.
Mm-hmm. To each other.
That's commitment.
Yes.
We're going to dedicate ourselves. We're going to set aside many other things in our life so that we can focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. And Jesus many times made comments that he only did what he saw his father doing, what he heard his father saying. And if we say, well, sure wish I knew what Jesus would do. Well, we know what he's doing. What is he doing? He's interceding.
Yes.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And so this calls the body of Christ to an ever-renewing focus on prayer and preparation. Fasting prepares us. I was reading someone, they were talking about fasting. They said, I don't know of anything that is more effective in bringing us to humility and an increased place of faith than fasting. To me, it's the presence of God. Through fasting, the presence of God becomes pronounced and the personalities of men becomes diminished. The presence of God becomes pronounced.
Focused, yes.
And it's powerful. So, David, you've been kind of quiet. You're a brother who prays.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. And I'm in agreeing with everything anyone,
you're in agreement.
Everyone's been saying. But I would say Karen and I talk a lot, and I've really been impressed with how God has brought you into a life, a ministry of intercession. Now, that's not entirely my ministry, although I do a lot of praying. But lately, God has fine-tuned my appreciation for that focused prayer that you're talking about. And I'm hearing in talking about fasting that creating an environment, if you will, spiritual environment, but through fasting, for really, truly God-led focused prayer. I'm excited about joining you in January.
Thank you.
For that. I'll be coming off a retreat, by the way, a few days away in a place where I go every year to
and we're coming back on air. Sorry, we are not aware of how that just happened, but anyhow, we're going to keep talking about prayer and seeking God, pursuing God and entering into the presence of God. And occasionally, amen, our equipment is under attack, and sometimes we have what's called pirates that actually seek to shut our signal down. So if you are in the pirating business, we will definitely be tuning into your activities, and the FCC backs us up. Extremely high fines to people who break in on other channels. And so we're not going to quit talking about prayer. Back to what we were just saying, that the whole aspect of Second Chronicles, most of us are familiar with that. If my people who are called by my name, and the fact that God literally puts in our hands, the church's hands, the opportunity to break the chains of darkness over our nation and to usher in the awakening and revival. And thank God we have some key leaders that are doing that today. So, Maria, we talked a little bit about what is going to happen, what happens during fasting. Let's kind of conclude by looking at tools. How do we do this, and what do you and Tim bring to our listening family that makes this easier by equipping us?